I don't think I need to preach after that, because basically that's exactly what I was going to say. And I'm 100% serious about that. I mean, that was so powerful. It is really amazing how God does that, isn't it? I mean, I think the reason that it resonates so much with all of us is because we've experienced that reality at some point in our life. Some of us more times than others, but pretty much everybody, right? If you've lived longer than like 5 years, you know, there has been something that has happened that wouldn't have happened. You know, God has preserved something or kept something from happening to us or come just in the nick of time. Amen? Amen. And what is our response to that, right? It's thanks and wow and thanks, right? We should never stop thanking God for those times that he's done that. We can never forget that God has done that in our lives. It's so easy after time passes to forget that God has done that. And it's so important to remember that. That's why it's so awesome for a choir to sing songs like that and for us to come to church every Sunday so we can constantly be reminded of God's power in our lives, God's ability to transform our lives. It's amazing what God can do, isn't it? Okay, yeah, that's exactly. I completely agree. So real quick, I just wanted to acknowledge my parents who are here this weekend. My mom and dad, Gary and Gloria Hallberg. My dad just retired. He's been a pastor or an associate pastor his whole life. That's how I grew up. I grew up in the church, falling asleep on the pews. And I can honestly say that I cannot honestly think of anything, that my parents did that was wrong. Like, they were just fantastic parents. And if I could ever be as close to a good parent as I experienced in both my mom and my dad, my kids will be really blessed. So thank you for being such awesome parents. All right. I want to read a testimony. Do you know how on the new website, there's there's like all these stories on the new website, and there's a place that you can submit your own story online, and then we get them and we read them, and it's really awesome. But I wanted to read one of the stories that was submitted online. It kind of relates to Mother's Day. And it says, "As Mother's Day draws near, I'm reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness in my life. When I was 18 years old, I lost my mother to cancer. She battled breast cancer for 10 years with the strength of the Lord. During those years, I was able to watch how she gave the disease to the Lord and let him use her to bring money to him. She was an amazing example of a woman of God. Yet after she went to be with the Lord, I began to journey this life without her, and I lost my way." And just parenthetically, that happens to so many people that lose their mother when they're young, that they lose their way. It's very interesting. It's a very hard thing to experience. And she says, "The gaping hole that was left in my heart became the enemy's playground. I began drifting farther and farther away from everything that was instilled in me as a young girl. All my hopes, dreams, and aspirations began to fade. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy everything in my life. My family was divided. I dropped out of college. I had a failed marriage and then proceeded to cohabitate with someone who introduced me to cocaine. My lifestyle, the lifestyle I was living and the wall I was erecting between my Father God and myself was ultimately destroying me. I was so broken and felt so far from God that I believed that there was no hope for me. Dreams of singing in church choir like my mother or marrying a man of God and having a family were the absolute last things on my mind. Yet after almost overdosing on alcohol in December of 2012 and crying out to God, I was saved by his grace. In a few short months, I was asked to attend the real event at Glad Tidings, and that is where he met me with open arms and delivered me from all the lies of the enemy and restored everything that was taken from me." He has not let one thing in my life be untouched by his healing hand. He is my Lord, Savior, and Shepherd, and I will never look back. Thanks be to God. And that story is Julie. Where are you, Julie? Where are you? Right there. Well, she's in the balcony. Right there. And I think she's sitting by her new husband that she married just a few months ago, resting on her. And she sings in the choir and she's up in that far corner. Isn't that a powerful story? It's really humbling to hear stories like that related to the real events. And there are a lot of stories like that. And so I encourage you, if you feel like they aren't for you, or you don't think that it will meet your need, or it's not necessary, I encourage you to rise above those doubts and pride and come to those events, because you'll be very surprised how God might minister to you regardless of your background or circumstances. But ultimately, you know, it is always coming down for me when I preach. I feel like it's always coming down to this idea of whether we truly can experience transformation, like Julie's story. Do we really believe that the kingdom of heaven, like Walt's been preaching about the kingdom of heaven for the last several weeks, right? Different components of the kingdom of heaven, this and the kingdom of heaven, that. You can listen online, and a lot of them say kingdom of heaven. So is it possible to have this real transformation in our life where the kingdom of heaven takes residence in us? It changes us. It changes the course of the direction of our life. And is that possible to have happen? And just, I want to read a quick verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "The Lord blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them." Isn't that interesting? The Lord blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Interesting first part of that verse, where it's realizing your need for him, and then you will experience the kingdom of heaven. That's actually the first verse in the Sermon on the Mount. The very first verse of this long sermon that is recorded in scripture that Jesus preached, that's the very first verse. And it says, "Blessed are those who poor and realize their need for him." It doesn't say, "Blessed are those who are smart and rich and have a college degree. Blessed are those that have money in their bank account. Blessed are those who have never been divorced. Thank you. Blessed are those who have lots of children, are really good mothers. Blessed." You see what I'm saying? No, it does not say that. It says, "Blessed are those who are poor and realize their need for him." Now, interesting, it says realize their need for him, because we all need him, right? Come, somebody say amen. Amen. We all need him, but the verse says, "Blessed are those who realize their need for him." Very interesting. Now, forgive me for not reading any poems. Walt covered that Mother's Day poem part of the service, okay? And I am compelled here to make sure that every single woman in this place, maybe the men too, if you're willing to listen to me, understand that when the time comes when you do need help, which will happen at some point, like the choir song mentioned, it's important to know that whenever in the future that God is enough, he is enough to handle your circumstances. When you realize your need for him, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Wow. Maybe your life is very hard, and maybe you have everything together, or maybe you are holding things together on the outside, But inside in your mind there are these nagging thoughts, these nagging doubts. Maybe you have two lives, the one on the outside and the one on the inside. And I could be wrong, but I believe that this is actually the reality of most women, that we have two lives, our outside lives and our inside lives. Now, mothers and women in general can very, very easily slip into that trap. The pressure to be a certain way on the outside, perhaps due to expectations of your spouse or the culture or your family or your workplace or even yourself, but inside there's a lot of pain or doubt or insecurity or stress. You see? In fact, just this week, throughout the week, and I've had a crazy week, I've had constant communication with a woman who was on the brink of suicide, but you would never, ever guess that on the outside that that was the case. She was going to work every day. She put on her makeup. She dressed nicely. But on the inside, she felt completely hopeless, completely overcome with despair, and felt she could not continue like that anymore. And in fact, if she could have figured out a foolproof way to execute the suicide, I would bet you today that she would not be here. And I understand that. I've felt that way before. And actually, as I was praying about this sermon, and I was thinking, I wonder how many, and sometimes I'm not a prophet, but sometimes I feel a prophetic leading inside of me as I prepare to speak or whatever. And I was thinking, in this room right now, this very instant, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, would estimate that there are not a few, but there are many women in this room today that are at that place of desperation. And we have no idea. I can't even tell by looking at you. I have no idea. I'm just saying, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that is what I sense. And if it's not suicide, it's a debilitating level of despair in your life that no one in your family or your spouse or anything like that even realizes is there. So what does God say about this? Do you think God is not aware? Is he not aware that we can feel that way? Do we think God is unaware of our thoughts? In Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18, it says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help." Oops, can we put that on? Psalm 34, 17 and 18. Oh, wait a second. I think that is not Psalm 34. I think that's Psalm 37. Is that it? Well, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. Yes. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. The Lord is, look at this. He's close. Oh, it's right here, but it's wrong there. Oh, okay. Oh, he rescues them from their troubles. Thank you. He rescues them from their troubles. Next verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirit are crushed. Let's just sit on that verse for a second. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirit are crushed. God sees and knows what is going on in your head, what is going on the inside. You're not fooling him. You might be fooling everyone around you, but God is near. He is close. He's available to the brokenhearted, and he's able to rescue those whose spirits are crushed. Now, how bad is crushed? Do you think that's pretty bad? I say that's pretty bad. You know, so he is close. Now, so say your spirit's not crushed. Say it's only medium crushed, you know, like part way. What do you think about? Do you think that verse would still apply, or do you have to be totally crushed? Oh, good. Okay. You're a sharp group here. All right. So the next verse, look at this. Day by day. Yeah, day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive a reward that lasts forever. They will survive through hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. They will survive through hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Think about that in terms of the choir song. Right? So God is promising that through hard times, if anyone is here that is facing hard times, God is promising that you will have what? More than enough. You will have more than enough. If that's you, actually, the Bible says you're actually lucky. You know why? because he's close to you. And he said he will rescue you when you are brokenhearted. Wow, you're actually lucky, because when that happens to you, when that situation happens to you, the Lord actually is close to you and near you. Wow. Is there anything breaking your heart today? Anything crushing you? Infertility, unsaved kids, weight of difficult situation, financial ruin, family members stuck in limbo in a refugee camp somewhere, and you get sent around to different government agencies for about 5 years trying to get them here? Or maybe it's nothing. Maybe everything is great for you. And if that's the case, you should be overcome with a sense of gratitude of God's amazing protection and kindness and goodness in your life. And today you should be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. If you've been able to conceive, if your kids are alive, if you aren't homeless, if you've survived a trauma of abortion or the loss of a child, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for healing me, for being more than enough for me. Just like what the song said, maybe you've been crushed in spirit. You felt the nearness of the Lord and the weight has been lifted with you from you. Then your response should be, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, God, for being near to me. But the amazing thing is that even when we're crushed, the Bible says we can be rescued. Psalm 34, it says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Can you put that verse up again, Psalm 34? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. That strong word, those two strong words about what God is, you should write down in your journal or you should circle in your Bible. Because it says the Lord is close and he rescues. Those are very, very strong words in the context of God. For God to be close to you and for him to rescue you. God is able to be close to you and he's able to rescue you regardless of what is going on the inside, regardless of what is going on the outside, regardless of whether he's done it in the past, whether he needs to do it now, or whether he's going to do it in the future. God can be close. It's amazing. Now, the first verse of Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, I'm going to be going back and forth between these verses, so I apologize to the PowerPoint guys. Going back to Matthew chapter 5, it says, the Lord blesses those who realize their need to him, for the kingdom of God is given to them. So if you need him, if you're crushed, if you're suicidal, if you're frazzled, unhappy, stressed out as a mom, guess what? The kingdom of heaven is yours. So I guess today, my story is, or my theme has to do with not how awesome everything is, because I can't help myself. I can't do that, because I just feel a burden or a sense all the time of this tension in women's lives between those two things. And so I want to help you, with understanding that. Now, here's a few stories about me as a mother and my, failures as a mother. First of all, it started, and some of you know this, it started when I was in labor, and I was in labor and it was hurting really bad, and I told Walt, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd like to go back home. And Walt said, it doesn't really work that way. And I said, that's very unfortunate for me. Then when we were getting ready to leave the hospital, I felt like I have no business taking this baby home because I don't know what I'm doing. And I said to the doctor, the pediatrician, you know, when the pediatrician like checks the baby out right before you leave the hospital. And I told the pediatrician, I said, I do not feel comfortable taking this baby home. I need to know some more things. Maybe can I stay an extra day in the hospital? And he said, oh, you'll be fine. All they have to do is sleep and eat and have wet diapers. That's all you have to worry about. Sleep and eat and have wet diapers. I was like, okay, if you say so. So we took the car seat in the car and we headed in the wrong direction. So Levi was basically curled up like a snail when we got home and we had to pick him back up. We were worried about too much blood flow to the head that we'd already given him brain damage on the drive home from the hospital. So anyway, they said, all you have to do, well, guess what? He wouldn't eat and there were no wet diapers. The pediatrician said, you just have to feed him. They just sleep and then you just need to have wet diapers. Well, it was 24 hours and he had no wet diapers. He wasn't eating anything, but he was sleeping. But I was already failing within the first 24 hours at two of the three things that the pediatrician told me I had to do. So we ended up at the emergency room 24 hours later and they're like, oh, this child is highly dehydrated. They had to put an IV in him, you know, and try to give us a lesson. And the nurse at the Children's Hospital ER was very helpful. She gave me some hip, you know, tips. So we managed to keep him alive. The funny thing was when I went to the hospital with Levi, who was crying and had no wet diapers, I said to the nurse, I said, I told the doctor when we left the hospital that I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm here and obviously he lied to me. Well, another time was when I've got a few series of stories here, and this story I've also said, I think, before to some people, but it was a story when a lot of things were going on at church, and I was too busy, and we didn't have the money to go through the drive-thru and get Happy Meals, you know, like maybe we would do today. And so I opened a can of kidney beans and just drained them, and I just gave the kids in the back seat a can of kidney beans. And they seemed fine with it, you know. And so they ate up all the kidney beans. And so when we got there, Joni said, she said, that is going to be a bad situation in their diapers, you know. And I said, well, they'll be in their nursery anyway, so it's not my problem. So basically, I lowered my standard. I lowered my standard of parenting to where I was just going to try to keep him breathing and not set the house on fire. So that still actually remains my standard today. As long as they're breathing and they don't set the house on fire, we're doing good. So one time I looked, our kitchen is on the front of the house and there's only one house in the entire neighborhood that's a two-story house. Now I was doing something in the sink of my kitchen and I looked out and I saw one of my sons, I think it was Levi, and I'm not sure, it might have been Sam, and I saw them on the roof of the two-story house. And I thought, what in the world is Levi doing on the roof of the neighbor's two-story house? It kind of had dormer windows, and one of the kids' bedrooms was in one of the dormer windows, so they just decided to climb out of the dormer window and just, you know, check out the roof. So I went over very calmly, and I just said, I'd like you to get down from the roof. And Levi or Sam said, it's not a problem. If we fall, we can just rest our feet on, and he said, he pointed to the gutters of the roof. He's like, we'll just step on the gutters of the roof and it will hold us up, no problem. I said, go back through the window and come home. So he starts coming home, but he's bringing his ball from that they've been playing with home, and I was leaving for some reason. I think Walt was home, but in another location of the house, and Levi was coming home, or maybe it was Sam, sorry, Levi or Sam, whoever this is, and the ball was in the road, and I'm backing up the car. This all happened within a 10-minute period, and I'm backing up in the car, and all of a sudden, I see Levi or Sam reaching under the car, and I stop suddenly, and he's like, oh, I thought I had plenty of time to get the ball before you got out of the driveway. So within 10 minutes, one of my children went from this two-story roof of a house to me almost killing them and hitting them with the car while they're looking for their ball. Recently, a couple years ago, I think it was last year, the year before, you know how, do you guys know the kids nowadays at the schools, they have like award ceremonies about everything? Like, if you didn't miss more than 20 days of school, we're going to have an award ceremony for you. And we're going to call everybody's name across, and it's going to take 2 hours. And, you know, you're going to end up with a piece of paper. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I have 3 kids, and it's like, I don't have the time to go to all of these award ceremonies that are just, you know, of 300 kids where they just, you know how to spell your name, and so we're going to give you an award. I don't have the time for that. So I told Levi, I said, Levi, I don't want to go to this award ceremony tonight. How about if I give you $10 for us not to go? And he said in a split second, deal. And he took the $10. I mean, he didn't even have to think about it for a second. It was like, this is a win-win situation. I get the $10. I get to stay home. It was awesome. Well, anyway, what happened was Levi went to school the next day, and apparently he had gotten like a substantial award at the award ceremony, not just a certificate for attendance. And so the school counselor goes up to Levi at school and says, where were you last night? You received this, you know, award that got a medal or something. And he said, my mom paid me $10 not to come. I'm not kidding. So this year, Sam, it's his turn to have an award ceremony. 2 days before the award ceremony, I get a personal phone call from the counselor. We're just wanting to make sure that you're going to be at the award ceremony. They called Walt too. We had like 2 dual messages. Just want to make sure you're at the award ceremony. So, as you can see, I'm not like mother of the year or anything like that. So, but the Bible says that day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent and they will receive a reward that lasts forever. They will survive through hard times, even in famine, they will have more than enough. So I want to tell a story about when we had, well, we have a lot of stories from when we were first married about not having any money and not having enough. And so, I mean, we could go on and on, you know, not having enough to do a load of laundry, you know, at the laundromat and not having an, I don't know, I can't even remember all the things we didn't have enough for. It was just a lot. So anyway, once we moved here, like for example, we had like $25 a week for groceries and I included breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, and that, so that's not that much for 2 people for 3 meals a day. And so, but they had this large bag of, animal crackers, and they still have them at Walmart. They were $1 at the time. So we really thought that was a good investment of our $25 to have $1 of it go to the animal crackers because it was a really big bag and it fills you up and it was kind of like a dessert. So that was a good, you know, that was a good. And in that time, okay, here is our dollar for my, that it was enough for the animal crackers. Then once we moved here and we had 3 kids and, you know, I didn't work out, you know, outside the home. I was taking care of the kids and Walt was an associate pastor here and we didn't have any extra money. And, Sam wanted a Tickle Me Elmo and we didn't, and they were like $25 and those are like a really trendy thing where kids aren't going to like use them after the first week, you know? So we weren't going to spend $25 on Tickle Me Elmo and we didn't have $25 to spend on the Tickle Me Elmo. In fact, here's a story. Our toaster broke and we didn't even have the money to replace a toaster. And those aren't that expensive, right? Like $15, $17 at Walmart. And so we would like toast our bread in the oven instead of replacing the toaster. So you get the idea, right? So anyway, so we didn't buy the Tickle Me Elmo and his parents came and they stopped at a garage sale and at the garage sale there was a Tickle Me Elmo and it was $4. And so Walt was like thrilled about finding a Tickle Me Elmo for $4, but he didn't have any money on him because we didn't have any money to have on him, you know. And so anyway, his dad, like, upfronted the money, the $4 for the Tickle Me Elmo. And when they came home with the Tickle Me Elmo, Walt was super excited. He's like, check this out. I found this Tickle Me Elmo for $4. And I like burst into tears. I'm like, how are we going to pay your dad back? We only have $4. I felt like a loser, you know, to have to borrow $4 from his dad to buy the Tickle Me Elmo. But I think we had about $3 in change. And so if we had one more dollar, it would probably have been enough for us to reimburse his dad for the Tickle Me Elmo. And sometimes we think it's the big things that are going to make the differences in our life, when really a lot of times what is enough, just enough, is what God does to change the score, so to speak. In Psalm, I'm going back to the same verses, Psalm 37, 18, and 19. They will survive through hard times, even in famine. They will have more than enough. So you guys know how I feel about Tickle Me Elmo, and I'm afraid this isn't going to work. How I feel about Cheetos, and my friends all gave me Cheetos for a graduation prize yesterday. So guys, these are the Cheetos you gave me. And so this is like your life when your problems are, you know, overtaking you and the weight is all shifted. And I hope this works, because if it doesn't work, just understand it's supposed to work. And okay. So anyway, so this is the way we feel when we're overcome with our problems. But God has promised, it says in that verse, it says, even in famine, they will have more than enough. Now I'm going to try putting this in and it doesn't work. Let me see. Oh, what is it? The sides. Oh, shoot. Well, we'll do it again for next service. Anyway, the idea is, and it's obviously not working because I think our calibration. Ah, here it is. That's why. That's what it is. It wasn't on the thing. So before, this is our situation, okay, and we're overcome by despair, problems, all these things. And then what happens is God says in his word, he says they will survive through hard times, even in famine, and they will have more than enough. And then this is our enough, which is switches. Okay. So are we actually missing God's help because we're looking for something different than enough? What part of your life do you need God to be enough in? Is it your marriage, your money? Maybe you don't have any margin in your money, just like our Elmo story. Maybe you don't have money for a pacifier. I remember when we had young kids, those costs of those additional small things, like a pacifier or the thing that connects the pacifier or stuff like that. It was a lot, and it added up. Maybe you don't have money for that. Maybe your kids, maybe they're little and they can't sleep, or maybe your kids are teenagers drinking and hanging around with the wrong crowd, or maybe your adult children are homosexual or horrible parents. Maybe you have infertility and you're here, and I commend you for that. And God sees you and he's proud of you, and he's enough for you. You might have a stressful job. You might be an illegal immigrant. You might have an addiction to alcohol, TV, painkillers, weed, exercise, food. You might be dealing with death in your family. Maybe your mom, like Julie had with her mom. Maybe you don't understand the Bible, or you're overwhelmed by motherhood, or you're single, or you're choosing not to have kids in a culture that doesn't think that's a good idea. Maybe you're facing same gender attraction. Guess what? You're lucky to need him, because the Bible says that the Lord blesses those who realize their need for him. The Bible says that you're actually blessed if you realize that you need for your need for him, because then he's able to be enough in your situation. It says, day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive a reward that lasts forever. They will survive through hard times, and even in famine, they will have more than enough. We're going to give you a dollar, all the women that are 18 and older, or if you're a mom that's younger than 18, or if you've had an abortion and younger than 18, you can have it. But for all the 18 and older women, that's intended, unless you've had something, you know, that you're younger than that and you've had something regarding that abortion or giving birth to a child, you can have one too. But this dollar, I was trying to think of what all, even in our world, that a dollar can buy. It can buy a loaf of French bread at Walmart. It can buy a Walmart brand package of pasta. It can buy a Metro bus pass for if you're a student or you're elderly. It's $1.50 if you're an adult. It can buy a new shirt on Goodwill Dollar Days. It can go towards a dollar towards the $5 pizza at Little Caesars. Maybe if you have more than enough, this can help you survive a mean boss. There's a lady, I don't know if it's Linda, are you here? I think she comes to second service and she sits in the very back. She survived this horrible, nasty, ugly boss for 7 years. And at a real event, we prayed about her boss. And within 1 week after that, her boss left, which it was awesome. But for 7 years, she had to deal with this horrible, nasty, awful person. Maybe God's enough can help you survive a mean boss, or a same gender attraction, or to stop an addiction, or peace in a situation that's out of control. Whatever that is in your life, whatever is the situation, maybe you're like we talked about at the beginning, you're in total and utter despair. God is able to be more than enough. You know, it doesn't have to be $1 million. All that matters is that weight is shifted from your circumstances and your life being what is defining you to enough, to the opposite happening, where God is more than enough and He's in control of the weight of your life. So this is what I want to do to close. I want to pray for you. We're going to sing a song after this and it's going to be really related to it, but I just would like to pray first for every woman and man, but particularly every woman that's in here. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask for God to prophetically lead my prayer for you. And if you just want to receive from Him, just in your heart, just open up your heart and your mind and your spirit to what God might want to say to you. God, I thank you for every woman that's here. God, I thank you that you see her and you know her. God, I thank you that you're not fooled by the outside, that the outside doesn't matter to you, but that you care about what's inside. I thank you that you know what's going on in each woman's mind. I'm just going to speak singular and it will apply to everyone, but I thank you that you know what's going on inside of her. God, I speak to utter despair and discouragement by the power of the Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit rest in there just to be enough for her to make it through the day and to make it through the day tomorrow. God, I pray for the woman who is contemplating suicide, that has suicide ideation. God, I pray that she would sense your nearness. I pray that she would find courage in the fact that everything doesn't have to work out and be perfect, but that you are enough. That in the famine and in the terrible times and the crushing of the spirit, the brokenness of the spirit, God, that you are there with her. You are enough. God, we hang on to that dollar, to hang on to that enough. God, I pray for the woman who is not sure that you are real, not sure that you can actually intervene in her situation, having never experienced a real transformation. God, I pray for her. I pray that she would, in her mind, begin to make a spiritual shift where she believes in the power of you to change her life. She believes in the power of enough to shift her life. God, I pray for the one bound in fear and insecurity. God, I pray for the woman that is afraid to speak up and talk to her boss or her husband or her child or her friend or her family member. God, I pray for courage and strength to rise up within her in the name of Jesus. I pray for the mother who is overwhelmed and tired. God, I pray for this spirit of perfection. I pray that that would be loosed in the name of Jesus. I pray for the bondage of perfection, that you would loose that bondage in that woman's life in the name of Jesus. I pray for the woman that is bound in addiction, smoking, alcohol, illegal drugs, pornography, sex, television, food. God, I pray that she would see this dollar bill and she would be reminded that you have the power to remove that addiction, to change that in her life in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you are enough for every single woman here, and that the Bible promises that you, those who need you, actually receive the kingdom of heaven. Wow. The Lord blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. Just women, just briefly, would you just acknowledge your need for him in whatever situation you're facing? The Lord blesses those who realize their need for him. Whatever it is in your situation, just right now in your own mind and in your prayer, just say, I need you. I realize my need for you. I turn that situation over to you. I acknowledge that need for you, God. I give it to you. I place it in your hands in the name of Jesus. I pick up the dollar that is enough, and I believe that you are enough to transform any situation. God, we acknowledge our need for you in the name of Jesus. The worship team is going to play a song, and then I'm going to close in prayer. If you could just hang tight, I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to explain your gift today.